Bonjour l'Église. Buenos días, Iglesia. Good morning, Church. Hermanos y hermanas, frères et sœurs, brothers and sisters in Christ. Because it's not quite Christmas yet, it's my joy to wish you an expectant Advent. That's the season we're in. A time marked by placing ourselves in the scriptural tradition of waiting for a Savior, the Messiah, and hearing this lead up to the birth of Jesus. It's also a time marked by us who have placed our faith in Jesus as we await for him to return and finish setting things right. I want to think a little bit on this idea of setting things right. This idea is at the heart of peace. In Hebrew, this word is shalom. Say it with me, shalom. Ah, yeah. And shalom, peace, is more than just an absence of conflict. It is all things set right. And today we're going to try to hold these ideas together of peace and Advent through the Psalm of David blessing the Lord for all he has done. That's Psalm 103. And hearing from Luke how these angels knocked the socks off some shepherds. First with fear, unintentionally so, but that is the scriptural pattern. And then with this good news of great joy for all people, bringing a message of glory to God in the highest and peace to all on earth on whom his favor rests. Because Jesus has been born, and then they get sent to David's town to go and see what has happened. I think the shepherds looking back on that night would probably remember the initial fear. If this was me and my friends, we would probably try to figure out which one was more afraid. I might have screamed, but you screamed like a girl. But I think more so they would remember this awe that would come from encountering the grace of God, reaching out to them, and then being sent to witness and behold the salvation of God. And in their story, we get another glimpse of what it means to be an Advent. It's personal. This historical birth of Jesus has happened. We await and hope the future return of Jesus. But it's because we have encountered the salvation of God in Jesus. We've been made right with God that we are now at peace with God through Jesus who is our Lord and Messiah. That's how the shepherds happened, right? The historical became personal. And it can for us as too. To Jesus who is our Lord and our Messiah. This term Lord points to God. This phrase used often of God in the Old Testament. Now to this child who is born. Speaking of the fullness of God now resting in a baby. And this child who is the son of Mary, God the Son. And this title of Messiah, the Christ, the anointed one, the one chosen and sent with a purpose, a long-awaited purpose to bring about God's rescue, to set things right, to make a way for peace, shalom. Peace speaks deeply to me. I would expect it does the same for you. I remember the weight that was lifted off me when I was forgiven and made right with God. I experience that even now. Peace, as we Mennonites like to say, is at the very heart of the gospel. I think, Laurel, that is why these Christmas stories can't help but stretch into the future to see how all that God is doing in this child for salvation's sake is a story of peace. It's what we're saved into. And this longing and resting in peace is something I think that is common to all people. I want you to think for maybe the last couple weeks and think of an event or an encounter where you could rest because all seemed right. Or perhaps you benefited from someone else's peacemaking work. I have this neighbor, and for the last number of years, I have benefited from his peacemaking work. A few years ago, this neighbor got a new toy. Many of you have this toy. It is a gas-powered blower. Yeah, some of you know these well. Since then, I have shoveled my walkway maybe 2 or 3 times a year. This man goes up and down the block clearing snow. It is a gift. And it is a kind of peacemaking gift. A reaching out of grace. A doing something for the benefit of others. Something to extend goodwill and love. And this past week, we got a text. Our neighbor had gotten hurt. And he said he was so sorry he couldn't clear snow. He was apologizing. We got to tell him it was a gift, not an expectation, and that we got to return the gift of love to him and do for him what he had done for us. And then, of course, because he's a man, he was blowing snow again pretty quick. You know, I think as well as praying with our sister Annie, as she is facing death in a real way, and in that struggle, she finds peace in God still. I think of this moment this past week when my home was a place of rest, a contentment. We were all just very delighted to be there together, and there was no tension, no worry. All was well. Peace. These moments and encounters and even longings for peace, I think, are woven into our lives in big and small ways. And this came to me as I was preparing to speak to you about peace this week, and there was something else that came to me as well. Because along with the encounters and events of things being right came reminders of events and things deeply wrong. We pray for places where there is unrest and conflict. We have named these places for many years: Congo, Sudan, Ukraine, Syria. Others too, praying for a long time for peace, for things to be made right. We pray for the health of each other, aware of the crises of health that come from being in a broken world and the ongoing trials of physical and mental illness. I know in my life and in yours, there are relationships, family and friends and neighbors and coworkers, relationships that are broken and severed and strained. We long for things to be made right and renewed. We long for peace. And in my life and in yours, we face the tempting call to return to the way of sin and evil that God has rescued us from. This too is part of Advent. Knowing what God offers and deeply aware peace is so absent. I think the song leading team and I had a bit of a mind meld this week because I'm going to tell you about I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. We sang it this morning. It's based on a poem. It's written by this man, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. The opening, well, the words as we have sung go like this: I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And we can hear, I think, why it was on Laurel's mind and mine, because it's from that scriptural line, right? This choir, this heavenly host, who pronounced this line of glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace to all. You may not know that Henry Wadsworth Longfellow wrote in time following Civil War, a time of deep personal anguish. And the verses reflect this as well, building to the question that I think we also face, this reality we face. Near the end of his poem, he wrote, "And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men." Peace on earth, peace with God, a Savior born for us is the title of the sermon. How can there be peace? How can this be for me? How can I trust this message of good news, of great joy of a Savior who has come to set things right when so much of our world is unrighteous? To get into that, we're going to talk of something we can do while we are in the midst of waiting for God to sort things out, and that is prayer. And this may come as a shock to you, but I don't default to prayer. This is sometimes embarrassing, because I gather with people and things happen, and someone will say to me, hey, pastor, shouldn't we pray first? And I go, yes, we should. I need reminders, like a youth lesson prepared by one of our youth workers, thanks to our brother Alex, for this past youth night's lesson to remind me, on talking about peace, that there is a deep connection between peace and prayer. Philippians 4, 6 to 7 reads, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understandings, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So I'm going to offer to you what I've seen that works for me. When like me or like the author, I've heard the bells on Christmas Day, or like many people, have faced the awfulness of this broken world, and that is what works is to pray. To bring what is we bear to God. See, prayer is a humble thing because it means we're addressing the fact that we have limits. We are creatures after all. I am not a savior. I am not God, and neither are you. But by praying, we enter into God's presence. Prayer connects us with God, which brings God's very life and character into our present situation. Peace comes with prayer because God is a God of peace. God is not worried, does not fret, is not anxious. And in his presence, we can learn what it means to bear to God all things, and then learn to leave them in his good and capable hands. And encountering and trusting God in prayer, peace comes. And this peace, we are told, is a peace that doesn't actually quite make sense at times. It's beyond our understanding. It seems to fill us with something that doesn't make sense given our present circumstances. And yet it comes. God's peace enters and guards our hearts and minds, keeping us in Christ Jesus. And I like a way of praying in times like this that has really helped me. This is a method I learned about to pray when you're feeling overwhelmed and worn out. A prayer that acknowledges that God has asked us to bring all things to him, but also to remember humbly that we are not God, we have limits. And learn to leave these things that are too big for us, too complex, too overwhelming, in his hands to solve and handle. Okay, here's what it is. When I'm feeling this way, I take a really deep breath. And whatever it is making me feel overwhelmed, I hold it. And I let myself feel what that is making me feel for about 5 seconds. And then when I can no longer hold my breath, like how I can no longer hold on to the things that threaten to overwhelm me, I breathe it out as a sign of letting go. It's a sign that I'm not actually meant to bear all the world's sins and pains and sufferings and sorrows. That's Jesus' job, not mine. Do you want to try it with me? I want you to think of something that's burdening you, worrying you, maybe even overwhelming you. Something that quickly makes you feel anxious and unsettled. I want you to breathe in and hold and let yourself be in that place. Knowing you've done your job to bear this to God and trusting his leading, his lordship, his Messiah. And then breathe out. Let it out into his good hands to sort out. Sometimes once is enough, but sometimes I need to do that often. See, prayer brings peace because it connects us with God. It aligns us with his ways. It brings us once again to look to the Lord our God and not to our present circumstances. That's what David was writing about long before Jesus, his descendant, was born in that town of David's. In Psalm 103, David looks to the Lord, and we hear through David how God makes for peace. David tells us that the Lord made his ways known to Moses and his deeds to the people of Israel. In verse 7 of Psalm 103,
It's a call back to Exodus and brought them into a relationship event with himself. Israelites from slavery and how God took them from evil and brought them into a relationship, a covenant with himself. It points out that our God is a revealing God, one who comes near, who does not stay far away, and who gets involved and makes himself known. Peace comes because God comes near. The psalmist continues in verse 8 that the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. This line is a repeated line throughout Scripture, almost like a refrain of who God is. You will see it picked up and played with in just all throughout Scripture. That God is compassionate. That means to suffer with and suffer for. He is gracious, giving us favor we do not deserve. And he guards his anger. He holds it back. He is slow to get angry. And I think so that it'll give us time for us to see and experience and be transformed by his love. Love here is chesed. You want to say it with me? It's another Hebrew word. Chesed. Little language lesson. Chesed. Another good Hebrew word to know. Shalom and chesed. And chesed is love, but it's love with mercy and faithfulness, it's unending, and it's steadfast, and it's kind, all packed into one word. That's a pretty good word to know, eh? You want to know what God is like? It's that. If you have a children's Bible that I have, the Jesus Storybook Bible, you will hear it read this way. His never-ending, never-stopping. Oh, I just lost it. Never giving up. Always and forever. What's that? Unfailing, always and forever love. Yeah, God's never stopping, never giving up, unending, always and forever love. Thank you, Joshua. That is the kind of love that we have. And when we turn away, he never does. We are not dependable, but he is. Peace comes not from our circumstances, but from God's character. We go on in this last part of what was read to us in Psalm 103 and 9 to 12, that we hear that God will not accuse forever. His love is forever. And because his does not accuse forever, he does not treat us as our sins deserve. We don't get what we rightfully have coming. I deserve death. That is the cost of sin. But instead, because of the great vastness of the Lord's love, his chesed, he removes our transgressions from us. He forgives as far as the sunrise or the east is from the sunset, the west. Those don't meet. And neither does our sin, once it's been forgiven, meet us again. It is removed so that everything that is between us and God, it's removed so that we can have peace, be restored to God because nothing can separate us anymore. Peace is possible because of God's love and forgiveness. And what David and knew of God became crystal clear, an exclamation mark, a crescendo, a climax in Jesus. Because in Jesus, God comes near. The nearest God has ever been. He is the fullness of God in a person. He has come so close that he has entered into our very condition, our predicament, our brokenness. He has come to suffer with us. Compassionate, and joining in our suffering, joining in our humanity, he steps into the punishment we deserve. Out of his chesed, his great love, he takes our place. And he was suffered, was crucified, dead and buried. Forgiveness is possible because of what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. So God is for us. God's goodness is real despite how it looks in the present. And so can we rest in the peace of God despite my circumstances? Yes, because death is not the end of Jesus. Hear Longfellow's conclusion from I Heard the Christmas Bells. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to all. We can know and have peace despite our circumstances and our present situation, because God is not dead. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, because the grave could not hold Jesus. And in Jesus, we see that the Lord has come near and is for us, that his salvation has made a way for us to be at peace. And we look ahead to when Jesus will return and set things right, finish this shalom peace work that he began at his first coming. Until that day, I do not know how far and how much the good news of Jesus can reach and transform before his return. I don't know how long we will pray for Ukraine and Congo and Sudan and Syria, how long we will pray for us who battle addictions, mental illness, and sin, how long we will pray for our loved ones who have walked away from us and from Jesus, how long we will pray to hold fast to the hope that Jesus calls to us. But this I do know. I know the way of peace, the way of making things right, begins when we look to Jesus. And I know that I and you can have peace, God's peace, because God has come near and taken on our situation and became a child. And with this came this momentous explosion of praise. I bring you good news of great joy for all people. For in the town of David, a child is born, and this will be a sign to you. You will find this child laying in a feeding trough and wrapped in clothes. God came to be like us, to be with us, came to take on all that is in us, including the helplessness of a baby, including the sorrows and pains that come from being human in a broken and fallen world, that come with relationships not quite right. Jesus came and entered a world of betrayals and sufferings and temptations, came to make it so that even though wars may rage and pain is present and loss is so near, we can have peace. And this is the peace I know. I've known it since I responded in faith to the good news of great joy of Jesus and his salvation. I've known the peace of Jesus being my Lord and my Messiah. And we and you and I can have peace because of who God is. And so I join my words with David's psalm, with the words of Longfellow, with the manger and the cross and the resurrection of all of Scripture that points to the goodness of God and Jesus to be our peace. Because peace is not found in circumstances, but in the character of God. Not in our present situation, but in his presence. Our peace is a person. Our peace is found in the trust that God really has come, has saved, and is for us in Jesus. How can there be peace? How can I trust and rest in this peace, even when so much looks unrighteous? Because in Jesus, we see the good news of great joy for all peace, for all people. That in him, you and I can be forgiven, rescued from evil, sin, and death, and brought into his life of peace. There can and is peace on this earth because we can have peace with God, because a Savior has been born for us and we call him Jesus. Amen.